is the feast of St. Matthew the Apostle, and our gospel reading is of his conversion, his obedience to Jesus' command, follow me. Although the gospel from which this morning's reading is taken does not identify its author, early church tradition attributes it to St. Matthew. And so here it seems we have St. Matthew's account of his own conversion. Apart from his name and occupation, very little is known about Matthew. But tradition again says that he preached in Palestine for 15 years after Christ's resurrection and then conducted missionary campaigns in other nations. Matthew's account of his own conversion has parallel passages in St. Mark and St. Luke, in which he is referred to as Levi, but it seems clear that we are dealing with the same incident. The setting for the story is the tax office in Capernaum. Capernaum was in the territory of Herod Antipas, and in all probability, Matthew was not in the direct service of the Romans, but in the service of Herod. Capernaum was a great meeting place of roads, and it is likely that Matthew was a customs officer who exacted duty on all goods and commodities as they entered or left the territory of Herod. All tax collectors of the time were hated by the general public. They were regarded as unpatriotic, especially those who worked directly for the Romans. They were considered to be religiously unclean, being barred from the synagogue, and they were notoriously dishonest, often taking advantage of people's ignorance to overcharge them and line their own pockets. There was also no appeal against their decisions. In passing, I note that HMRC appear to have put a similar system in progress in that they never answered their telephone. However, such was the nature and reputation of the person whose tax booth Jesus approached in our gospel text today. Matthew's response to Jesus is immediate. He arose and followed him. There is no evidence of any previous direct contact between Matthew and Jesus, but Jesus would by now have been well known in Capernaum, and Matthew may well have heard of his teachings and healings, his call to repentance and new life. What did Matthew think of himself, I wonder? Financially prosperous, but generally despised, aware of the wrongness of his dishonest lifestyle, maybe wanting to change, but not knowing how, or feeling himself beyond redemption, perhaps. He just needed someone to encourage him, to show him some hope. And then, this popular rabbi took the initiative and called an outcast to be his disciple. At last, a sign of acceptance, and Matthew responded readily. How many people are there in our society, in Bolney today, struggling with unpopularity, loneliness, with addictions and poor lifestyle choices, or any other number of problems, possibly outwardly successful, whilst inwardly loathing themselves, or maybe struggling with poverty and debt, feeling their lives are empty, that they have no future? Looking at the state of our land today, I would suggest there are many who are like sheep without the Good Shepherd. Maybe just awaiting a sign of acceptance, a reason to hope. That gospel message, which is now in our hands, needs to be on our lips also. Jesus calls us to be on the lookout for today's Matthews and to invite them to follow him. Perhaps they would accept the invitation to a chat, a cup of coffee, and perhaps then an invitation to come to church with us. We won't know unless we ask them, of course. Following his calling, Matthew evidently threw quite a party at his house. We're told that as Jesus sat at the table, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Look where following Jesus can take you. I wonder what the disciples made of it all. It's highly likely that they shared the opinion of the general populace concerning tax collectors. And now one tax collector in particular is to be made an apostle. It is a very basic lesson for us. The church is the body of Christ, not a comfortable club for those that we feel most at ease with. And he gets to decide who the other members are. Part of our growing in Christlikeness will be learning to tolerate, then appreciate, and then to love our fellow Christians who are most different from us. And as the existing church, we must learn to accept that Christ alone gets to decide whom and from which sections of society new members are added to us. Our society is generally riven with divisions and even hatred right now, between right and left politically, between liberal and conservative culturally, between asylum seekers and those protesting against them. When we look at this gospel reading today, and how with Christ at the centre, it became possible for the despised, fearful tax collectors and the anxious, resentful disciples to sit together at table and to start to talk and eat, then one wonders if the church today, as the body with Christ at its centre, might be the place where these opposing factions could be brought together, assured that their fears and worries are heard non-judgmentally and that they are understood and loved. Might the church be the forum where they can sit, begin to talk and eat? Might it be the place where peace breaks out? Just a thought, anyway. That said, the Bible in both Testaments clearly gives us a charge to look after the poor, the vulnerable, and the outcast. And Jesus warns us that truly following him may make us unpopular. In dining with Matthew and his friends, Jesus, not for the first time, incurs the ire of the Pharisees. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners, they demand? They demanded, of course, of the disciples, who may secretly have been wondering the same thing. Jesus' response is twofold. He quotes from the prophet Hosea, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," and adds, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Pharisees desired sacrifice, not mercy. Their religion and their idea of righteousness was dependent on the keeping of many detailed rules. In doing so, they regarded themselves as righteous before God as a result of their own actions, and they had no sympathy or mercy for those who fell short. Perhaps what Jesus is saying is that he could not call those who are self-righteous, since they would not recognize the need of him. Sinners who hunger and thirst for righteousness are closer to true righteousness than the self-satisfied. The tax collectors and others who recognized their own sinfulness came to him with gratitude and humility and received his forgiveness. In recognizing their own brokenness and need, they would hopefully be then ready to show mercy to others. And so should we. The other part of Jesus' response is his medical analogy. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He would go to anyone in any place to minister his healing forgiveness. No sinner was beyond his compassion. The Pharisees and their judgmentalism were like doctors who were very much concerned to diagnose disease, but with their lack of mercy, they were not in the least concerned to help cure it. Just as Jesus was being ironic in his use of the word righteous, so perhaps he is doing the same with the word healthy. The Pharisees would have considered themselves healthy. And even as Jesus could not minister to those who considered themselves righteous, neither can any doctor give treatment to someone until they agree that they are ill. Jesus, of course, did provide healing for people with many different physical ailments. And in his gospel, Matthew surrounds the account of his calling and conversion with a number of these physical healing miracle stories. And the inference is clear. He regards his calling, his turning to Christ, to be every bit as much of a healing as those cures for paralysis and blindness were. And surely that is true. In our fallenness, every human being needs the eternal healing of the soul that only Christ could deliver from the cross. The church is sometimes likened to a hospital. It is the place where we all come to find lifelong healing for our wounds. As for hospital food, we find the doctor inviting us to his own table, and the meal presented has been provided at great cost to him. For the doctor loves his patient so much that he has become a blood donor to enable the healing. We are privileged guests at this table, and it is not for us to judge those whom he has called to share this wonderful healing meal. We may think some of them a bit odd or undeserving, but Jesus sees what they can become once his healing work gets to grips with them, just as he sees what we might become if we will open ourselves fully to his healing. The Pharisees and perhaps the disciples saw only the outcast, thieving tax collector in Matthew. But Jesus saw an apostle, evangelist, church leader, missionary, and gospel writer. Let us be bold and humble and generous in inviting others to receive the Lord's healing. Who knows what he will make of them? Amen.